Hello and welcome to the Wabi Sabi series podcast, unlikely conversations on uncomfortable topics. I'm your host, Michelle Cox, a corporate exec turned author who has recently written a series of books about topics we don't often talk about. Things like death, grief, not having kids, and the unexplained power doctors often wield over us. Apparently, some of my books have made some people feel a little uncomfortable, but I felt that I wanted to have far more conversations around weird, wonderful, and sometimes taboo topics. So I reached out to some interesting people and asked them just one question. If there is one topic that you'd love society to talk more about, what would it be and why? And what they've shared with me has been amazing. So let's dive in and see where the conversation takes us.
It was a company secretary who gave me permission to articulate and use the language of love overtly. And now I don't hide it.
Mary Dwyer is the founding director and CEO of Impact Solutions International, specialising in large-scale cultural change, conflict transformation and ethical leadership development. She works with business, spiritual and political leaders nationally and internationally. In 2018, Mary published her first book, The Final Act of Grace, a leadership spiritual teaching memoir, which has since won a Hay House Balboa Press Publishing Award. Mary believes that loving kindness is a powerful instrument for the transformation of global leadership. She views herself as a citizen of the world, travelling and working across the globe, but makes her home in beautiful Tasmania. Mary and I have had many in-depth conversations over the years, and we've done some beautiful work together in my own personal and professional development. So Mary, it is so lovely to have you here today. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
This podcast is around one question. If there is one topic that you wish everyone would talk more about, what would it be?
Today, I'd really like to bring into our conversation a deeper inquiry about what would happen if we brought spirituality into leadership.
Oh, I like that. So that is bringing spirituality in, or is it around spirituality leadership? How would you frame that?
Well, I think one would probably lead to the other. And I suppose my really deep inquiry comes twofold. First of all, by some personal things that happened in my life, and you mentioned the book, The Final Act of Grace. So it was watching my first husband choose to die a conscious death. He had cancer, but instead of having any further treatment, he chose that. And just that journey where I watched someone apply years and years of leadership skills to mastering an incredible time in his life, in our life. That was number one. But number two, even before that happened, we were starting to watch a trend emerging in leadership, and it came out of or on the back of emotional intelligence. So if I go back 15, 20 years ago, EQ was right on the edges of leadership development, and the thought that we might be doing training around emotions as a part of leadership work was considered fairly far-reaching and out there. But once EQ came into our workplaces, when we started to work with emotional intelligence, both with leaders and also within their workplaces, we started to notice that they went on an inquiry. And it was an inquiry about, well, who am I? And what are my values? And what are my driving forces? And what are my main emotional states? And what makes me really strong as a leader? And what emotional states really rob my leadership, take away from the effectiveness of my leadership? And really that inquiry of who am I and what drives me and what's my purpose and why am I here and what is my story, they're actually all questions that take us deeper into ourself. Hence, it's also the inquiry of someone on a spiritual journey. And maybe at this point in time, I'll also really say that that is completely different to religion. A religious person might be spiritual, but a spiritual person isn't necessarily religious.
Beautiful. I love that definition. Because people get that confused all the time. I always say I'm very spiritual, but I'm not, particularly religious.
I'm not religious. And, I myself don't prescribe to any particular religion. I am in deep inquiry about who we are and who we might be in the world. And that is indeed a spiritual inquiry. And then the more that I've studied that over the last decade, the other thing I really started to notice is that the books started to change. So on my bookshelf, there's really four sections. One's travel, two, autobiographies, but especially around political and spiritual leaders, a large collection of writing from spiritual leaders, so Thich Nhat Hanh and the Dalai Lama and people like that, and then the rest are business books. And I love business. It's a part of my core, it's part of my being. And about 10 years ago, when I'd buy a book and then when I would go to place it on the bookshelf, it was getting harder and harder to whether that was a business book or a spiritual book. Here was that trend manifesting in reality, just even in the books. So a spiritual book might have, even writing by the Dalai Lama, for example, might have something in there about, as business leaders, we have got a duty to serve. It is through business that transformation for the planet can happen. There it is in a spiritual book, but in a business book, if I take something like Dr. Otto Sharma's work on Theory U, which is a completely different way to do organisational change and large-scale change, all of that is based in presence. And presence is a spiritual concept. And indeed, I'd say his books are primarily a spirit-led way to transform and radically transform systems. And in a way that when applied, the systems completely change form, which is what transform means, not just to fiddle around the edges, but completely change form. And they are more effective and more efficient, and people love the output. So hence the conversation.
So you started to see the shift in books and things. But when did you start to bring that into your work? Because I imagine, I've sort of been involved in the EQ sort of space, which for anyone that doesn't know what that means, it's around emotional intelligence. So that you have an IQ, which is about your intellectual, categorization, but emotional intelligence is, been around, I guess, the last few years in the business sector. But you were obviously working in that space a little bit of ahead of time, I'd imagine, like that people weren't sort of delving in this space as much. Did you find that?
Absolutely. Well, even with EQ, we're ahead of the curve. We're probably about 5 years ahead. And I dare say with the spiritual research that we've been doing, we're probably 5 years ahead. But it's actually becoming more mainstream now. We are seeking and seeing in our organisations basing their vision, for example, on, well, let's find our real story, let's articulate our story. And we can't find the story unless we go inside. The story and what makes a story an amazing story comes from our heart. It comes from the centre of our being. So how did I first see it? It was a Secretary of Treasury, actually, who, when we're talking about values, and he asked me to show him our company values, which I did. And I said, but actually, in all honesty, it's probably really love. And he said, well, that's really evident to us. It was a company secretary who gave me permission to articulate and use the language of love overtly. And now I don't hide it.
If you have a topic burning inside you that you'd love to talk more about and have a conversation with me, I'd love to hear from you. So drop me a line at hello@wabisabiseries.com. Let's head back to the chat. And how did it transform your business then, or how did you help transform others through, one, defining the language, but also digging deeper to kind of, I guess, break away the shells and the externalness that we have in corporate world about not being truly authentic ourselves? And you and I have obviously had a lot of conversations about that, and you've helped me do a lot of that stuff as well over the years. what was kind of the kind of key catalyst was sort of my first question with that. How do you help people with that? And two, what was the response in the early days? Because I imagine people would be a little bit, or maybe some people still are, you know, have an aversion to fluffy stuff or spirituality. You know, they probably think there's no place of that in the corporate world. How do you cope with those kind of responses?
There's a couple of answers to that. Number one, if they don't want to go there, they're not my client.
That simple.
That simple.
I love it. You know? Boom.
I only want to work and call into our business leaders that want to go on a transformational journey. And by that very nature of that, that means they have to look inside.
Love that, Mary.
They've got to do that.
That's brave, though. That's really brave, like a view and to sort of put a line in the sand. But I get it. Like, I get it. If they're not going to want to do it, then it is tough work. So you've got to be willing to be vulnerable, don't you?
I think you've got to be willing to go inside. You've got to be willing to be vulnerable. But vulnerability does not mean sharing everything with everyone all the time. I think that's really an important distinction. But the other thing is, so for the last 10 years, a lot of my work has been global work, working with leaders that are helping their countries come out of violent conflict, so armed conflict. You know, that's meant working with terrorist groups and all sorts of different people. Been a fascinating 10 years. And what I really came away with is that regardless who's sitting in front of me, whether it be an armed group or a leader or a president of a country or whoever, if I could stay in absolute loving kindness in a space of deep inquiry about that human being, something profound happens in that interchange between us. Time and time again, I would just see the layers of our roles and how that masks who we are and our the stuff that we wrestle with, and that would all fall away. You know, there is something about being able to hold that love. And that was an incredible experience across 16 different countries, 44 different nationalities, and yet that quality is so powerful. So even though the work is deep work, I think it's also held in incredible love, which invites the person then to go on an inquiry that doesn't have blame or judgment, or it's just an inquiry into their life so that they can then choose to keep stuff, let go of stuff, but emerge from a consciously chosen platform from which they then want to lead here on in.
Far out. Like, that's just, even though I've done work with you, just listening to you say that's like so profound for me. And I guess the question, if I was listening to this and didn't know you, I would go, well, how do I do that? So there's one thing about doing the work on yourself and also then working with someone to help you through that. But then also, I've gone through it, I've, worked on myself for a bit. How do I then translate that into leadership, like leading others in a spiritual way, which was kind of your core element, you know, that you want to talk about more? How do you bring that more to your leadership?
So if I go to maybe one of the best studies of leadership that I work with, and it comes out of a body of work which produces an outcome called the leadership circle. It's a model of leadership. And in Bob Anderson's book about that work called Mastering Leadership, it shows that every single one of us as human beings has reactive tendencies, you know, ways that we've learned how to react to the outside world in order to get what we want, to get our needs met. But as we go and start to develop in our consciousness, actually, what ends up happening is an emergent, creative set of competencies that are inherently different, and they are experienced differently in the workplace. But underneath all the reactive tendencies, it's primarily driven by fear. It's because we've got a problem and we're scared and we want to get the problem solved, so we react in a certain way. When you've got that development of consciousness that happens with this type of inquiry, it happens naturally with this inquiry. And as the creative competencies then start to merge, the underlying emotion that drives that is love. An explicit example of how that then shows up in an organization. In a climate or in an organization or a leader who's primarily driven by fear, there are so many conversations that aren't allowed. You know, you can't have that conversation or that one, or, you know, if I speak to so-and-so about their current lack of performance, for example, then maybe I'll make them feel bad and, you know, maybe then they'll react in a certain way. So it stops me. When I'm scared, it stops me from having those conversations. When you are operating from a place of love and you deeply know who you are, then even those conversations that are hard become conversations you want to have because you're in service to that other person and you're in service to your organization. So one thing that we see happen is that people start to clean up. Leaders start to have those conversations that they'd really like to have. And instead of telling their best friend at night or, you know, someone else, they actually go to the person and say,
yeah, like,
hey.
Bitching about their staff member.
Yeah.
They should do something about it. Yeah. It makes me think, Mary, I did something years ago that I learnt from, it was a lecturer at the particular time, but it was about feedback. We did some work around giving and receiving feedback, and it was stuck in my head for years gone, and I still use it today. And it was around, if you are going to give feedback, and it might be to a staff member about, you know, performance in some way, or it might be your best friend that's wearing an outfit that you think maybe, you know, doesn't look amazing on them, then the key question was always, he said, always check in with yourself and go, why is it that I feel that I need to say this? Is it that I'm coming from a point, to your point about love, is it that I actually genuinely think that this would help that person or make them feel better or be better at their job or whatever? Or is it actually just because I want to feel better or it's about me? And it was always that kind of key kind of check-in before giving any feedback to anyone about anything. And I think it's held me in good stead because, you know, I'm quite opinionated. I like to talk about and I'm inquisitive and sometimes I don't mean to hurt people's feelings, but it was such a great leveler for me and I learned a lot from that. So it sort of reminds me.
That's beautiful because one denotes that it's actually about you and therefore it's your ego for some reason that has come to play. And the other one is in service actually to the other person. So leadership at its highest calling is to be of service. You know, we are in service. And even in some countries, the translation for the word business is in service. And this stuff takes courage, which is why we have to be strong as a leader. These are the strong leaders who can do this. Not strong from ego, but strong from a place of really being of service to other people. And before I came on, I went and looked at the etymology of the word courage. And it's interesting because a leader based in love is so strong. Courage is the ability to come from the heart, to have valor, to bring forth something that other people can't bring. And it comes from the ability to be able to know your own spirit, your own temperament, and to have a strong frame of mind. So this is actually about incredible strength. And then I was thinking about that. So, you know, what are examples of leaders who've done that? And Mandela came to mind. So when Mandela was on the balcony in his inauguration and everyone was celebrating and they all had machetes and it was now is our time for retribution, it was Mandela in his strength and his conviction, a spiritually based leader, who said, you know, put down your machetes. Oppression will only breed more oppression and make you into the oppressor. How do we rise above this? How do we welcome and love those that have hurt us for so long? That is the invitation. And I went, wow, you know, that's amazing leadership.
So beautiful. Mm. Spot on. Someone wants to do this a little bit, Mary, and wants to apply some of this stuff. Where could they start? So do you always recommend that people need to work with someone to work through some of their own stuff, or are there particular, you know, whether it's courses or particular exercises they could do, or how would you start by becoming a better spiritual leader?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is tune into your podcasts. If people haven't started to read your books, start to read those books. They're all around conversations that take us on a journey of greater inquiry. And there isn't a right answer. We just invite you to come on the journey so that you find your answer your way.
And that's all that I've ever wanted, is for people to be more curious, about others, about the world, about each other, about ourselves. So, yeah.
And when we do that, the veils of separation between our difference starts to fall away. And in fact, we actually then start to realize more and more that we are all connected. You know, there is actually no separation. COVID-19 is showing us that. You know, there isn't any separation. What happens and affects you affects me, and that happens globally, and it's happening between human beings and, you know, right round our world at this point in time. I do think that at different times it is really good to have a fabulous coach, because our own level of thinking keeps on creating our own mind patterns that then create our existence. And sometimes through working with someone else, especially even speaking it out loud, we can hear the matrix of our mind that has served us really well but may need to change.
And I have talked about that, sorry, just on that point with you and I, like some of the work that we did do together was around my values and beliefs that have held me in good stead up until now. But what you helped me to do is to kind of break them down and realize that, you know, they no longer served me. And so they were great for, you know, my first sort of 30 years or whatever, but actually I've grown and evolved and changed. And so should, you know, it's okay. I kind of always had this in my head that your values and beliefs were with you forever, but they grow and evolve and change as you do, which actually sounds really obvious now that you say it out loud and I've gone through that. But it was a beautiful piece of work. And again, it was quite transformational for me, but so simple, really, in a way. Like you say, I think having a coach and to work with someone, and there's all different realms of that. So the type of work you do with Impact Solutions, you do work with groups and you work with individuals occasionally as well, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, so I do. And of course, my team does as well. You know, I've got a handful of pretty amazing consultants who've been trained to do this really deep leadership work. And yes, of course, I do that work, and we do large scale change. But when we go to work with and partner with an organisation to do that, we really want deep change. You know, that's what we want to see. This isn't just a leadership program that you can tick and flick. I'm not interested in doing that work. That's an important part of some of the work, but not the work that we do. So bringing it back to what would I suggest people do, you know, if anyone's listening and they've got any doubt, just to give you a ring. Michelle, you're a fabulous coach and mentor to all sorts of different people. I mean, to have access to a woman who's now sitting on, you know, some of our really large company boards, to actually help be shaping our future through your insight, I think you'd be a really good place to start.
Very kind of you. Thank you, Mary. So I want to bring it full circle as well and think, if people were or did introduce or were more conscious or spirituality leaders, if that's all spiritual leaders, how much better would our businesses be? How much better would our world be in your mind? Like, what's the difference that this would make?
Let me bring that down to my own business as a way to answer that. I am a recovering perfectionist and I am a recovering workaholic, without a doubt. So I now work much less. My work is much better. I choose my clients and they choose me. I love the work that I do. My turnover has not been affected. More people do the work, so more change happens out there. And overall, it is absolutely an honour and a delight when I'm called to work with someone. So just imagine if Every business could say that. Now let's take that up to a large company. Maybe we'll go a cold fire power station or something left of field and an area that I've done a lot of work in. Imagine those people being able to come to work loving their work, come to work and they do less than they've ever done, more effectively, more efficiently, where they actually really care about each other as they're doing that work. And guarantee your profits will go up just because you'll have reduced stress leave, you'll have reduced workers' comp, you will have reduced sickness in your organisation. So just some examples. You will have reduced need. Probably happy customers, right? Yeah, happy. And even you'll have reduced need to go into mitigation and all of the other things that are a part of everyday business.
Amazing. I love that. Yeah, no, beautiful examples, Mary, and it just brings it full circle for me. So it has been an absolute delight, as I knew it would be, to talk to you today. You're so insightful and so gracious with your knowledge and sharing your wisdom. So I really appreciate you having a chat with me today.
My pleasure. Lovely to chat.
If you'd like to learn more about today's guest, you'll find all the show notes and interesting links on our website, wabizabiseries.com. If you'd like to hear more unexpected conversations, please subscribe to the series, follow us on our socials, or grab one of my books. And if you're in a generous mood, I'd love you to share the episode, or maybe even rate, review, and comment on the series. It really does make a difference. Until next time, be sure to claim your own piece of wabi-sabi and walk proud in your perfect imperfection.